Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in today. I am kind of geeking out because I get to talk to a fellow marketing professional and social media guru on today's episode. We've been talking a lot to people, small business owners in particular, who have been through COVID and sort of had to pivot their business and business strategy. But today I get to talk about what that looks like from a marketing perspective and how these businesses have utilized social media to do so. So I am excited for my guest today. Without further ado, let me get out of the way so you can hear my interview with Josh Lehue of Ghost Creative. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Keeping It Real. I'm your host, Chris Norris. The series continues talking to business owners and professional post-pandemic. Today, I am excited to be joined by a fellow marketing professional, Josh Lehue. He is the CEO and founder of Ghost Creative, a full-service marketing agency located here in Erie, Pennsylvania. Josh, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, absolutely, man. First of all, I just want to thank you because you and I have talked about this, but the fact that like we work in the same business and so many people look at this as like we're competitors and we should be fighting against each other, that's not the way to do it. So the fact that we can sit down across the table and talk, I absolutely love it. So thanks for the invite, man.
Yeah, man, for sure. I love that too. I think, you know, it helps that we live in a, you know, a smaller community, but especially given the things that have happened over the past 6-7 months, how important it is that people have come together, and those are the ones that come out on top. I think now is definitely the wrong time to try to create competition. It's definitely the time to create community because we're all kind of navigating this pandemic stuff together. So yeah, I love what you're doing at Ghost. But before we get into that, I want to hear a little bit more about you, your background, your kind of your story, where you come from, all that fun stuff.
Yeah. So I'm actually a software engineer. So I have my master's degree in software engineering, spent a lot of time doing software work, radar signal processing, all kind of nerdy stuff. But I realized very early on in my career that there was a huge gap. I would sit in these meetings as a software engineer, and you have the software engineers that are building the product, and you have these sales guys that are out selling it. And I sit in these meetings and I hear these conversations, and we leave the meeting and I'm thinking, we're not at all on the same page. Like what's being built and what's being sold, there's two completely different intentions here. And so I fell in love with marketing because I'm like, that's the connection. Like the message that you're putting out into the world has to be tied to the product or service that you're delivering. So I lived in the software world for a very long time, but I lived in this role that was kind of like the intermediary between the sales team and the software team. Even though I was doing the software development, I was showing up to the marketing meetings. And so that idea of like end-to-end marketing where you're truly starting with the customer and what their need is and seeing it all the way through to the product that's being developed to deliver to them, that's kind of how I made the transition from software into marketing. And we just happen to be living in a time where, you know, so much of marketing is digital and software driven and data driven. So my background has really served me well there. But that whole idea of like, coming from a software background and seeing like being able to build this connection end to end, knowing what the customer's needs are and making sure that the product is actually focused on serving that customer.
I love it. And that's, you know, that's the shift in marketing, as you've probably seen over the last 5, even maybe 10 years, the end consumer, the relatability and the service to the customer, not just the screaming of your message and the development of your sales pitch, all important parts, but really, like you said, thinking with the end consumer in mind is kind of a foreign thought for many, I guess, old school marketing type. So you were, it's an interesting path you got into marketing. Most people, even like myself, like I was a broadcast person. This is actually my thing, like talking, you know, like doing interviews and stuff. And that served me well in the marketing world. But tell me a little bit about, if you were to go back to your software development days, what are some things that you did in that space, some apps you developed or some projects you were a part of that, you know, kind of stand out to you in your career?
Yeah. So the early part of my career, I was just working for big companies, right? Working for GE and working for NASA and working for Lockheed Martin and all these big companies. And it was fun and it sounds super cool, but it was quite boring, right? Like I'm sitting in a cubicle all day. I'm just staring at a computer screen all day long. So I did some fun work there. Don't get me wrong. Like some of the actual projects I was working on were interesting, but that was just not for me. So I eventually moved into smaller companies and then went out on my own. In terms of products that we developed or that, you know, I've worked on over my career, I love difficult problems, right? I love difficult problems to solve. And so, you know, starting projects from scratch, like blank sheet of paper, building an app, you know, there's a yoga app that we built. Max Weber and I have worked on Nibble Nutrition, an app, that a project that's kind of on hold at the moment, but just really digging in and saying, let's pick a really big problem and let's go try to solve it, right? Like, so Nibble Nutrition, for example, how do we preemptively help people know what to eat, as opposed to what all these other apps out there are doing, where they're like, you know what, if you eat something, we'll tell you afterwards, like, that was wrong, shouldn't have done that, ate
too much. Kind of like MyFitnessPal.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, we have to be smarter than that. So my background in software allows me to, yeah, know how to market it, but be able to dig deep into these projects that we can hopefully solve some really big problems. That's what's so exciting about client work, like pushing clients to solve a bigger problem. I love it. I love that kind of work.
Very cool. I love the approach. And Nibble's the only really the one I'm familiar with that I've seen firsthand. I'm not quite the yoga person yet, but I remember when Nibble came out. I think I was following Max because he was big into the nutrition and fitness space, and he was showing a lot of on his social stories how to use the app. Seemed very intuitive, and it resembled MyFitnessPal, but like you said, preemptively, as opposed to like, crap, I just made some bad choices. Let MyFitnessPal remind me how many calories over I am for today. So Nibble kind of gives you more of a plan, an approach to nutrition, which is cool. I love it. So I guess since you struck a chord with me and you said that you decided to kind of move away from the corporate space and move into being self-employed, being out on your own. I am about a year and a half into that journey. Tell me a little bit about that process for you and how that's been going for you.
Yeah, I can probably tell you how not to do it.
Okay, that's good.
So I'm married. I have four kids, and I left my job when my youngest son was about a year old. I walked away from a very nice corporate job here in Erie and said, you know what, I'm going to start out on my own from scratch with a wife and four kids. It's probably not the best path, but you know what, it's been, I always say, I have not dreaded a Monday for 5 years now. And that's the evaluation that I use, right? Like, has it been hard? Yes. I mean, I've put in regularly 14, 16 hour days. And I don't say that like a lot of people say it as I'm bragging. I say that as, man, I got to get this figured out so I can get to 8 hour days, right? And it's been a journey for sure. And I'm sure my wife would have more interesting stories for you than I have. But I think it's really about what your passion is. We get one shot at this life, man. And yeah. So the corporate world was good. I'm so thankful for the experience that I had there. But I just couldn't sleep at night anymore, knowing that, you know, I was just going to work and sitting in a cubicle and I wasn't passionate. And I always say it's really difficult to change the world when you're working for somebody else, right? Mm. Because you're working on their agenda. And I had my own plans on what I wanted to do. And I said, my wife and I sat down, we planned it for a year, and we're like, we're in. Like, we're going all in. And I'll be honest with you, I couldn't do it without her. Sure. There's been days, I'll be completely honest with you, man. There's been days where I'm like, I don't know if I can do this anymore, mm-hmm. right? Things are tough, money's tight, like my schedule is crazy, I'm not getting any sleep, and I'm like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And she's like, if this is your dream, follow it, right? Follow it. I'm here to support you. And I think that is such an important thing for everybody to understand, is like, it's really difficult to do this on your own.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. Running a business is hard. Anybody that's done it knows. And you have to have those people around you that will cheer you on the tough days. And that is my wife for me, man. It's been a ride, and it's been fantastic.
That's awesome. I mean, you're right. The support system is huge, and it isn't easy, and it's scary. You're right. But I mean, being on your own comes with the challenges. It comes with a lot of fulfillment as well, as I'm learning early on. I just have one child so far as in, you know, obviously planning for more maybe in the future. But I quit my job, corporate America, about, he was about two, almost three. And if anything, like you said, it's kind of like you get one shot at life, and life is kind of built in these seasons. And I just felt like, similar to you, this season, I don't want to miss out on anything with my kid. I mean, we're not too far apart in age. Like, you got your whole life to work. If I go back into corporate, great. If I go back and work for somebody else, who cares? If I do this for the rest of my life, great. But I don't want to look back and be like, man, I wish I was around more, not so stressed and unhappy when I had a child that was like, you know, a little sponge, and now he's old and he's like, yeah, my dad's been, you know, unhappy at his job forever. I don't want that. So I can totally relate, and we could probably talk about that for 30 more minutes. But man, that's awesome. So you've been pretty much at this now for, let's see, if I do the math, you said you're firstborn. That's when you left your job. So how many years have you been kind of doing this?
So my youngest son is when I left. So I'm about 5 years, a
Five
little over
years.
5 years
Okay.
in.
Wow. Nice. That's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about you are at Ghost Creative. Tell us about Ghost Creative. I mean, marketing agencies come and go. What is special about Ghost? And also curious about how you developed the brand for Ghost Creative.
So what's special about Ghost? I think we do really well with strategy. That's our focus, is so many business owners. And I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. My dad was a business owner. My mom was a business owner. My brother now took over my dad's company. So I've seen this firsthand, that so many business owners, they're really good at what they do, right? They're really good at the tactical part of, if you make pies, you're really good at making pies. What business owners really struggle with is being able to see 6, 12 months into the future. And so what we're really good at is being able to set out a strategy. Like, you're doing the day-to-day operations as the business owner. Let us get 3 months, 6 months, 12 months ahead of you so that we can set that path for you. We're essentially going through and hacking down the weeds in front of the business owners, to let them walk that much cleaner path. So strategy is definitely where we thrive. And then, of course, as an end-to-end marketing agency, we do the content as well. We help them put together the programs and platforms. But it's really about talking to the business owner and figuring out what they need and what they want. What are their goals? Just like I have a business and I have goals, so many business owners come to us and they say, "I want a website." And our answer is always, "I won't build you a website until you can tell me why you need it."
Yes.
Right? And so nobody wakes up in the morning is like, "I want a beautiful website." That's not actually what you're doing. You just think that that's the path to, that's a, one marker on the path to get you somewhere. I want to understand where you're actually trying to get to, right? You want to grow your revenue by 20%? Great. Let's talk about how a website might help you do that, right? And let's set together the strategy, put together the strategy to get you from where you are to 20% growth, 50% growth, whatever it is. And so that's what Ghost is focused on, right? Like, tell me what your company objectives are. Let us lay out the strategy and help you implement it. And the other question you asked was about brand.
Yeah, I love
How
it. I love
did
your
we, so we focus a lot on brand. Brand is the long-term play, again, that nobody wants to pay for because you can't measure it,
Right.
which is understandable. I get it. How did we work on the Ghost brand? Very, very messy. It was very messy. And so we didn't know what we were. We started out like everyone else. We're like, "You need a website? We'll build you a website." And then we very quickly realized, like, this is not what people need, right? Just what I talked about a minute ago. And so our brand really became more about, well, brand in general was about who you are and what you believe. What change are you trying to make in the world? And so for us, the change we're trying to make in the world is being able to help these business owners, again, let them focus on their day-to-day and let us clear the path for their 3 month, 6 month, 12 month strategy and get them there. So our brand is all about empathy. Right? It's about empathy. It's about, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, "I want to have a bad day. I want to yell at the cashier." No, like, that's not how we work as humans. Something is going on, right? So we focus so heavily on really trying to be empathetic to the business owners, really trying to be empathetic to their consumers and understand what they're trying to do. Because I think if we miss that empathy part, we don't have a fighting chance of doing anything other than hard selling over and over and over again. And so our brand is about empathy and honesty, right? That's what we talk about all the time internally, empathy and honesty, candor and kindness, right? So we practice unsolicited honesty is what we call it, where if you come to us and you tell us your website is good, we will tell you it's bad. If
Nice.
it is, right? I mean,
Yeah.
because we don't think that any business owner can get ahead by us pulling punches.
Right.
That's a sales technique, let's be honest,
Yep.
right? Like, lying to you about how good your website is a sales technique.
Yeah, it looks
Yeah,
great.
it looks
Yeah.
great. And that's not us. I'm like, your website's a 2 out of 10. Let's just be honest. Like, let's just be clear with each other up front,
Yeah.
right? Like, that candor and kindness. We're going to be honest with you, but not because we want to put you down about your website, because you have goals and we know that your website's not going to help you get there, or your social media is not going to help you get there. We have to be honest with you about it. Also understanding that there's reasons that it's like that. And so it goes back to that empathy, right? Like empathy, candor, kindness, that's really what we focus on.
I love that. And you can't overuse the word empathy. I know it gets overused a lot, but I mean, yeah, it's refreshing to hear. I think in a world where anybody who's approaching marketing or thinking about hiring a firm like Ghost, it's like, oh no, like marketing, they're going to tell me I need to spend thousands and thousands of dollars for this website, for this social media strategy, for a new logo. And it's intimidating. It's like, for me, it's like if I go to, you know, buy a new car, I'm terrified because there's just a bad stigma around it. I don't look at any car dealership and say, a lot of empathy going on here. I look at, I'm a dude with a bullseye on my back that I'm going to get taken advantage of. So that's why it's so important, I think, no matter what industry you're in, to implement that empathy. And I love the candor and kindness. Like that's the shift we all have to make across industries, not just in the marketing world, but man, anywhere. If you can implement that like Josh and his team are doing, then you'll have success and you'll be more approachable. You'll stand out because let's face it, in our world, especially right now, not a whole lot of that happening. So, I mean, in speaking of our world and everything, at the time of this recording, I guess we're kind of hopefully climbing our way out of the COVID pandemic. So I wanted to talk today a little bit about, you know, your business, not necessarily maybe affected physically from the pandemic. You know, you didn't have to shut your doors and turn off your lights like so many unfortunate business owners had to do. But I'm curious, as a marketing professional and someone like you said who tries to exercise that empathy and understanding and honesty, how did you approach when you heard that, you know, COVID was a thing and several of your clients, did they, you know, come to you freaking out and saying, oh my gosh, we need to update our website. We don't use social media. We need to figure out how to pivot our entire business to the world that you live in, Josh. What was that like for you in the early stages? And what was kind of your thought process when you realized this is something where you're going to have to step in and help a lot of people probably?
Yeah. So it was really interesting for us because we signed two great contracts in February. In fact, our two biggest contracts of the year, both in the public event space. And so we this was our approach. We called them as soon as this happened, as soon as the shutdown happened, and we said, we're canceling your contract. And that stinks as a business owner, right? To say like that money that you promised to pay us, we're not going to accept it because I can't sleep at night. Like it might sound noble. It's not noble. It's truly that I can't sleep at night knowing that like we're going to expect you to pay a bill when you're not allowed to run your business, right?
Yeah.
And it's just that empathy again. Like if I'm in their position and I just signed a year-long contract and now I know I'm not allowed to sell the only product that I have, I don't want to have to make that phone call, right? I don't want to have to make that phone call to my marketing company and be like, guys, I don't know if I can pay you. So that empathy led us to say, you know what, this is gonna stink for us, but the right thing to do is call them and not make them have the difficult phone call. Call them and be like, you know what, guys, we'll cancel it for you. And so for us, it was scary. And so I believe that anytime, whether you're talking about an individual or a business, when things get difficult, when you get stressed, the more uncertainty there is, the more our nature is to take care of ourselves, right? Like when things start to get uncertain in my life, I start to retract. I start to make sure that I pull everything in and I'm taking care of Josh, right? And so I sat our team down as soon as this happened and I said, listen, here's what we're going to want to do. As Ghost Creative, what we're going to want to do is we're going to want to go out and get more contracts. We're going to want all the stuff we need to do to stay alive. And the focus is going to be on us. So we're going to turn that upside down right now. And we're going to have conversations every day about how can we serve our audience better? And so we started a Facebook Live where we were talking about, you know, just how to help businesses. Like, ask us any question you want. We'll give you free advice, right? So we really just turn the tables on, knowing our nature is going to be to take care of ourselves. We turn the tables right up front and said, let's make sure that our focus, we're like 99% outward focused. And it could have come back to bite us, right? Like I didn't have a plan. I didn't say, oh, I can guarantee if we do this, it's going to work,
right?
Right. But that was our focus. And we just believed in the process of serving others when things are uncertain, right? Like, can we remove uncertainty from some of the business owners? Can we help them kind of give them a forum to ask questions about what they're scared about and just give them free advice about it, right? And so that was our entire approach as a company. And we ended up getting business out of it. We were very blessed to get the business out of it, but that was never the intention. It was a byproduct of us just serving our audience. And that's the exact message that we gave all the business owners that we talked to. you're going to be scared and you're going to want to take care of yourself. You have to serve your clients, right? You have to serve them. I believe wholeheartedly in servant leadership, and I believe wholeheartedly in businesses are there to serve a market. We're servants, right? That's the game.
Yeah. Wow. 100%. I couldn't agree more. I think it's interesting. It speaks a lot about even your heart, that is where it shifted. How can I help? Because I saw a lot of people that were like, including honestly myself, like, holy crap, this is scary. I'm okay, but there's people that aren't. What can I do to help? Like, I don't want to come off as desperate. Like, please, I just want to help. But how can I just show up for people and say, hey, look, I know that everything is uncertain right now. Money does not really matter to a lot of people, but maybe it matters to you. What can I do to help? So it says a lot about our heart, because a lot of people went the other direction. Like you said, like they freaked out. They shut down. They became depressed. They maybe took drastic actions in the wrong direction. But the fact that you showed up and just said, how can we just help serve our customers and just serve the community in general, is awesome. And you did it through a Facebook Live weekly show, which was great. Let's talk a little bit about that, because I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's been a huge learning thing for me, is understanding the value in giving value, and the fact that, like, you know, kindness always counts because it comes back to you. I mean, I don't necessarily believe in the whole karma thing, but it's true. The more you put yourself out there, the more value you bring people, the more ways you show up for people, they're going to remember you when they actually are ready to spend, ready to actually hire. So I love the idea of the Facebook Live show. Tell us a little bit about, like, that show and some of the people you talked to, and what were some common questions, some common fears that you were hearing from small business owners amidst the uncertainty of the shutdown?
Yeah. So the show was really like, let's jump on Facebook Live and see what happens.
Yep.
Right?
I saw it. Loved it.
So we contacted a couple of business owners that we know and said, hey, we're going to try this idea. It's going to be live. So if you're not okay with being live, then this isn't the place for you. But going to be very honest, very straightforward, much like you do with your podcast, right? Just like open talk. And so we contacted a couple of them, and they're like, yeah, sure, I'll come on. And we saw a lot of the same, quite honestly, we saw a lot of the same questions that we hear all the time.
Sure.
Right? Like, how do I create content now? Well, that's a question we were hearing last year at this time, right?
Right.
and so we started to just, obviously there was that fear. How do we get sales? How do we get sales? How do we get sales? And how do we keep our doors open? Now, listen, I want to step back for 1 minute, because I know that we were in a very fortunate position where we could immediately switch to working from home, and we didn't have to deal with the regulations. So, you know, it's not like we had it all figured out. We just had a much easier road to walk than what a lot of these business owners had. And so we started hearing these questions, you know, how do I make sales? And our thing is always the same. Like, you have to talk to your audience. You have to let them know that you're still there. So if your business is not open, that doesn't matter. Your business is not just about your product. Your business is about the community that you're building. So whether your doors are open or closed, your community is still there. You better still be talking to them. Because what happens when you stop talking to your community? You don't have a community anymore. Exactly. And then when your doors open back up, guess what? You still don't have a community anymore, right? So I don't care whether your doors are open or closed when it comes to the idea that, when it comes to the idea of talking to your community. You have to keep them informed, right? You have to care about them. And so what you're seeing with a lot of businesses is, you know, I'll just be blunt, right? A lot of businesses cared much more about their bottom line than they did about their community. And they might not be around anymore.
Right.
Right. And that's just the reality of it, is the businesses that built a community, they'll be able to recover if they can make it through, right? I mean, there's an obvious financial, you know, burden here that some businesses just financially are not going to make it through. And that's extremely unfortunate. The businesses that kept their community strong and can weather this storm, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
They'll actually be stronger on the other end, right? They'll be stronger on the other end. And so that's our message all the time. You have to talk to your community. Most products and services I can get anywhere. The service listing that Ghost Creative offers, there's 1,000 other companies in the tri-state area that can offer the same thing.
Yep.
Right? The community, the relationship, We like to think that that's something that we bring that's unique, and that should be true for every business owner. If you're selling physical products in 2020 or 2021 I'll bet you I can get that on Amazon cheaper.
Oh,
and yeah. It'll be delivered tomorrow.
Yep.
What's the difference? Amazon doesn't care who I am.
Exactly.
When I walk into your establishment and you know my name because I was there last week, I'll come back.
Yeah.
I'll keep coming back. It's about community, not about product.
Yeah, I agree. And that's a great example because I've recently interviewed someone who owns a restaurant and someone who owns a coffee shop. And that's the overarching message is, hey, listen, I know that maybe my coffee's not the best in town or our restaurant, we're a dime a dozen, but I care about my people. I know their names. And when the pandemic happened, I was trying to figure out ways to continue to show up for them, stay connected. I had a woman on here that owned a coffee shop. I said, oh my gosh, like coffee, that's half the reason people get together at a coffee shop is to see each other. What did you do during the shutdown? Oh, well, honestly, I thought about some of the people that I miss seeing the most that I remember every day when I walked in and they were ordered the whatever. I messaged them on Facebook and just said, hey, miss seeing you, hope you're well. They didn't sell them anything. They just checked in. And again, now they're reopening gradually. Those people are gonna come back because they're gonna remember like, yeah, it was great being able to go through the drive-thru at Starbucks, but they didn't know my name there. Or I just miss seeing this person at their coffee shop. So I agree with you 100%. I think there's some great examples locally here in the Erie region of businesses that did sustain that community. I think about like one example that I've referenced a couple times was the Erie PA takeout Facebook group. Like that was a group that somebody launched, you know, either right during the pandemic or right before. And it was great because you could go on there and you could see other restaurant owners, other business owners propping each other up saying, hey, here's what's on our menu, but also support these people. Even like some crossover where like said coffee shop was, you know, mixing with said brewery and offering like a cool, like they came together and sustained the community. And maybe like you said, in some instances, expanded their community. And you're right, those are the businesses that are gonna survive. And I loved seeing that. That was kind of from the outside looking in during all that. Like I said, working from home, like you said, it was easier for us to just be like, all right, I can't go in the office anymore. But from the outside looking in, that was the biggest thing I learned was, wow, the businesses that showed up and like tried to create community in new and unique ways was really cool, really cool. So I agree with you. I think it's such a good perspective about that community building. One of the questions you said earlier that you were getting a lot of that I'd love to hear more about was, what do I post during the pandemic? How do I create content as a business that's shut down? Like usually I'd take pictures of my customers. What kind of ideas, you know, what were you thinking along the ways? What were you teaching your clients to do when they couldn't walk into their restaurant anymore? They couldn't walk into their shop and produce any kind of content?
Yeah. It's the same message that we use all the time. It's storytelling, right? It's you got to tell the story. So what is the story that's going on with your business? We all have stories going on all day long. The problem is we're bored by our own stories.
Yeah.
Right? So we think everything I do today is boring because I've done it 1,000 times. But guess what? My customers haven't seen it once, mm-hmm. right? So it's all about storytelling. What are you actually doing today? What are you actually thinking about today? Share that with your customers, with your audience, right? And so we tend to overthink content. Like it needs to be this big, elaborate, beautiful thing because it has to go on Instagram and it has to look perfect.
Yep.
Nope, doesn't have to be, right? Exactly. I mean, you know this. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's about storytelling. Tell the story. If you're a business owner, you're a local business owner, and you're like, you know what? I'm really scared right now because this is what's going on. Like, say that.
Yeah.
That vulnerability matters. Now, I wouldn't put out, you don't want to put out all your finances. Like, there's some things you don't share, yeah. right? Of course, there's a line. But, like, it's about that vulnerability because that's what that's what attracts people to you. When times are like they are now, and people are coming out and pretending like everything is perfect, you're gonna do more harm than good, right? Be honest about the story that's going on. Tell people what you're doing in your business. How are you handling this? What are you thinking about, right? Like, what is your reopening plan, right? I don't know when a few months ago, right? I don't know when I'm gonna be reopening, but this is what we're planning to do when we do that, right? It's also a fantastic time to innovate. Mm-hmm. For years, every time you ask somebody, you know, how are things going? They say, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy, yep. I'm busy. Well, we've been talking about this for months now. There's a lot of people that are not busy.
Exactly.
So what are you doing with your not busy time? You better be thinking about new ways to serve your community, right?
Yeah.
And so this is a fantastic time to innovate. I don't want to hear you're a restaurant and so you're not allowed to have people in. So just throw up your hands and say, there's nothing yeah. I can do. There's always something you can do, always. And chances are somebody else in the world has already done it. get on Google and look around and see how restaurants are innovating in Nebraska and take their idea and implement it in Erie, Pennsylvania, right? Yeah. Like there's tons of brilliant people out there. If you're not one of those idea people and you're just really good at running a restaurant, do some research, do something different. You have to innovate, right? You have to innovate, you have to storytell.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the point you make about the storytelling, the vulnerability is a good one, because I was even suggesting during that time, like, hey, you know, don't forget, especially if you're a small business owner, that a lot of people that are just your customers are also scared. They might still be fine financially and their jobs are good, but you might have been one of the pieces of the puzzle that was their constant, their norm, their comfort zone. They don't get to see you anymore. You know, they don't get to come to your coffee shop. They don't get to go to your restaurant, but they still want to see you. They're following you. They're supporting you. They're advocating for you because they trust you. Like you said, I go into a shop or I go get my hair cut or wherever because I trust that person.
Yeah.
And now I don't get to see them anymore. So it's your responsibility as the business owner to keep showing up for people, even if you are in your living room. And hey, my restaurant is shut down, but that doesn't mean we can't, let's do a Zoom call with everybody. Let's just get together and talk.
It's that empathy, right?
Yeah.
Like as the business owner, just like we said, we have empathy towards the business owners. As the business owner, you have to have empathy towards your customer.
Right.
Right. You have to think about what is the regular that came in my door, to your point, right? Came in my door 3 days a week. What are they thinking about right now? Mm-hmm. And how can I reach them? It's that empathy, right? You gotta dive deep into empathy, not say the word. Take the action.
Absolutely. And showing up for people is really what is social media at its best, is when, you know, you use it to soft sell. I get it. It's still a tool to drive some people, maybe to your website or to your restaurant for an event or a sale. But at the end of the day, the human connection element is what's most powerful about social media. And I think if anything we've learned throughout this, it's like, wow, we actually can really do a lot of things from home with these little phones in our hands. And it's amazing. And that'll never replace the face-to-face element of humanity. Like, but to think that you could still connect with your customers, that you could still pivot your business and serve your customers, sell to your customers without ever having to open the doors is like mind-boggling for a lot of people. But I think the people that during the shutdown have shown up and have, like you said, have been innovative and have continued to say, hey customers, I'm still here. Maybe I can't serve you like I used to, but what else can I do to help? Like, what can we do to help you? You know, I think of a local restaurant here that I thought this was very innovative. They couldn't go out for date nights anymore, right? You can't take your wife out during pandemic. You can't even leave the house. So what are you going to do? Well, we'll deliver a date night in a box to you. You know, we'll cook your food here at the restaurant because we can still do takeout. We'll also include a bottle of wine from a local winery and even like a gift card to stream a movie. Like, that's genius. That's innovative. Like, that met a need of mine. I'm like, wow, yes, I need a date night. What a cool idea. And now when I go to eat and actually go on a date night, I will think of the people that showed up and offered some cool ways to continue to connect with my wife. So yeah, 100% with the whole like innovative and changing the way you show up for your customers. Curious, what do you think, how does this change the marketing world in general? Like I just said, everything's crazy now. You can pretty much do everything from home. Some big corporate companies are saying, oh, you know, maybe we'll do this work from home thing for a while. From a marketing professional and what you're teaching with empathy and understanding and all that, how do you think this changes the way businesses market themselves moving forward?
Yeah, I think the whole pandemic, it's a filter for businesses, right? And this is going to sound harsh, and I don't mean it to be, but I don't know how else to say it. A lot of businesses that should have been closed a long time ago are not going to make it through.
Yeah.
And a lot of businesses that are strong businesses, they are going to make it through, right? And then you have the ones in between, and the resilient ones will make it through. The ones that just refuse to give up, right? I always say I'm not smart enough to give up, right? Maybe sometimes I should. I'm just not smart enough to. So first of all, I think what you're going to see is on the other side of the pandemic, I think you're going to see a lot stronger businesses. They're going to be forced to innovate. They're going to be the resilient ones. And from a marketing perspective, it's very interesting because I think it will accelerate a lot of the move to online efficiency that has been so delayed for so many businesses. I mean, we lived in a really good economy for a really long time. And so starting a business 7 years ago was not all that difficult. Now it's hard. Like, don't get me wrong, the work is hard, But in terms of, you know, the economic status of our country, it was, money was free flowing, right? Yeah. It wasn't really difficult to start a business. So these strong businesses that come out of it, I feel like they're going to pour more into online. I hope they do, not just because I'm in the marketing business, but I mean, you're getting, the costs are just, they're so much better for digital marketing, right? And so I think the other thing it's going to force you to do is the marketing will, I hope, be more empathetic. Mm-hmm. The marketing will be more community driven, less just hardcore used car salesman type of marketing. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to paint the wrong picture here. Like, we're not opposed to sales by any means. Like,
sure.
We do sales.
Yeah.
But it's who are you selling to and when, right? Mm-hmm. Like, selling right out of the gate that used to work because money was just free flowing, I don't think that's going to work anymore.
Right.
It's going to be such a turnoff when other companies are figuring it out and doing it well, this more empathetic, servant-based marketing, as opposed to just the hard selling. I think that dichotomy is going to be very obvious. And I think a lot of these hard sales companies are going to start to take hits when, you know, this empathetic marketing and servant-based marketing really starts to take off at scale, because
yeah.
It hasn't.
Yeah. And a lot of these companies, these marketing companies are going to, not marketing companies, but businesses are going to probably have to maybe rethink their marketing approach. They're going to be looking for people with a fresh perspective like you at Ghost Creative. Let's kind of maybe wrap things up with making people wait till the end here to give away some value. What is some advice, if I was a client right now looking at you and saying, Josh, what should I be doing as a small business owner? I cannot yet afford the services of an agency like Ghost Creative, but what can I be doing right now to not only shift my messaging, but also to maybe prepare for, I know everyone keeps talking about the new normal, but what if things never really go back to normal? How can I be prepared with my social media, with my web, to weather this storm and maybe be prepared, God forbid, for a future shutdown? What are some things that I can do right now, practical steps, to prepare for, I guess, the new normal of marketing my business?
Yeah. So I'll give you some of the secrets for free that we give away. So the first thing is, we talk a lot about getting traffic to your website. Right now, getting traffic to your website is easy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and I say easy because you can go watch some YouTube videos and figure out how to do it. You spend a couple bucks a day on Facebook, a couple bucks a day on Google AdWords, you can get more traffic to your website. Where we see the bigger problem is most people's websites don't do anything for them. And this is not about the website. It's about the community. Mm-hmm. How do you build the online community? Well, your website, for us, we think website should be the hub for that. Facebook is great. Instagram is great. Building audiences there are great. We're a huge fan of having control over your audience.
Yeah.
Right. A prime example of this is what we're seeing is the new iOS update that was supposed to come out this last time. They pushed it back until the beginning of the year. Facebook has come out and said Facebook ads are not going to work like they used to work, because by default, iOS is blocking Facebook tracking, right? So if you're right now spending money building your audience on Facebook, this is one example of, like, Apple can break Facebook.
Yeah.
Right. And so you don't truly have control over that audience. Also, we've seen with the Facebook algorithm, I post something as a business page, it gets no reach right now because I don't control that audience. Right. And so for us, the website, I say that to say the website for us is the hub. That's the thing you own. Getting traffic there, go watch some YouTube videos and get traffic there. But here's the point I want to make. This is one of the secrets. What do you do with the traffic that hits your website? Most people are good at capturing that hot lead, the person that's ready to buy right now. And they offer them something that's like, yeah, get a free estimate, get a free quote, like, buy this now. That's easy. You have to be doing that. Here's the trick. What are you doing with the people that are coming to your website and they're not ready to buy now? They're just, let's say you run a painting company, okay? And somebody, you have your website, somebody lands on there. Every painting company out there is saying, we'll give you a free estimate. Well, what if I don't want an estimate today? Right? What mm-hmm. if I'm just thinking about a project? And are they capturing that lead? And the answer is no. Here's what I know. Offer them, be a servant. What is the actual problem that the person has that's landing on your website? Provide resources to them, mm-hmm. right? Provide resources in trade for their contact information. Not because you're going to hard sell them tomorrow, but because now you can provide constant resources to them. You can keep providing value over and over and over and over again. Keep adding value. And here's the trick. I keep adding value. we use email right now, because I don't know if you do much email marketing, but what we've seen is as of like about a year ago, our email open rates were 20%, right? Our click-through rates were single digits, 7%, meaning, you know, for anybody that doesn't know, like if you get an email and there's a link in it, we can track how many, what percentage of people click that link, right? Now we're seeing email open rates of 50 or 60%.
Wow.
And we're seeing click-through rates that are 25%. So our click-through rates are higher than what our open rates were a year ago.
Wow.
So why am I talking about getting people to your website and capturing their contact information? People are opening their email again.
Yes.
And reading it.
That's awesome.
Okay. So this is what we need to be doing. So many people passed on email lists when the open rates went down. I'm telling you, build your email list, build your community. It's an asset that you have complete control over. And it's an asset that for the foreseeable future is going to be extremely, extremely valuable. So I'm not telling you go away from social, but I'm telling you provide value on your website, get the email address, and use email marketing to keep adding value.
So I love it.
Back to the painting business analogy. So then in 3 months, when I'm actually ready to do that painting job, am I going to go do a Google search, or the guy that's been sending me valuable resources every week for the last 3 months, am I just going to call them?
Yes. Right?
That's the game.
Totally.
It's serving people, right? It's serving people. I'm going to leave you. You might have more questions, so I shouldn't say leave you with this. But
go ahead.
One of my favorite quotes is by a guy named Jeffrey Gittimer. And he says, all things being equal, friends will do business with friends. All things not being equal, friends will still do business with friends.
Wow. Right?
And the point is this, like, I will hire a company because I trust them. It's not as much about price as you think it is. It's about the trust.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's, I couldn't agree more. It is about the trust. And that's, it goes back to what I said earlier. Your customers trust you. That's why they shop. Maybe it's not because you have the lowest price. Maybe it even, I hate to burst your bubble, but maybe it isn't because you have the best, what you think is the best service. They trust you. They just like to talk to you. They just want to show up at your store because you smile and you're nice to them. That is huge, because that trust can be built in any way. It doesn't have to be built 9 to 5 at your brick and mortar. It can be built online. It can be built through your website. It can be built through these nurtured email campaigns. And I love the refreshing, you know, statistic that you shared about email, because I agree with you. I mean, social media is like, you know, our jam, but I understand it's all borrowed real estate. Email will always be the only way really to guarantee you're going to show up in front of somebody. Now, whether they actually open your email or delete your email, you got in their inbox. They saw it. You didn't pay for them to see it. Social media is different. You know, like you said, you can spend some money to make sure you're showing up for that, you know, 25 to 50 year old male or female, but you never know. You have to pay for it. So I love the fact that email is the way to go. It continues to, hopefully, as you've seen, increase open rates, and providing value, building your email list, giving stuff away. Just let me ask you a question to build off that just real quick. What are, if someone's listening to this and they're saying, well, what do you mean free stuff, like resources? Like, what are some super simple things that people could, you know, close out this podcast right now and go and start giving away for free?
Yeah.
That they might already have laying around, and by like, maybe not even tangible things, but online resources. When you say that, when you're meeting with a client and they're like, well, Josh, I don't really know what you want me to give away for free. What are some easy ideas for them?
Yeah. So the way I would answer that question is, what are the questions that you get asked from your customers, right? What are the actual questions that your customers have? So it's easier to explain in an example. So let's say you have a coffee shop. Most people in the world, even those that drink a lot of coffee, don't know much about coffee.
Right.
Right. So you could very easily on your website say, hey, listen, here's our guide to picking the right coffee for you. PDF, right?
Yep.
Go into Microsoft Word or, you know, Apple, you know, Mac pages and create a 3-page PDF that is about how to choose the right coffee. And now you put that link on your website and say, hey, wondering how to choose the right coffee? Here's our guide. And I click on that link and it's like, okay, cool. Give me your name and email address and you can download the guide. Right? It doesn't have to be complicated, but it has to be helpful.
Yes.
And so what are the actual questions that your customers and your community have? Answer those questions and answer them for free. Everybody's afraid to give the answers, right? Here's the reality. I can tell you everything that you need to do to grow your business. And 99.8% of you won't do any of it.
Right.
That's just the truth. And that's not true of just, you know, everybody listening. That's true of me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's everyone. So what people are paying for is not the information. I hate to burst your bubble, but the information is easy to find. Google yep. fixed that problem years ago.
Yep.
What people are paying for is the service, not having to do it themselves, mm-hmm. or the product, because I might be able to go make my own cup of great coffee. I don't want to do that. I'd rather stop in and visit the community, grab a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's these simple, easy resources that answer questions that your customers and your community want to know. Don't overthink it, right? If you don't know what those questions are, ask.
Ask, yes.
Ask your community. If you have a Facebook page, ask them, hey, what are some questions that you have about us, about our business, about our products? They will tell you.
Yeah.
And if they don't, build your community.
Yeah, identify the pain points and then build off those. Like that's what people want, is identifying those pain points.
Yeah. And people are afraid to give the information away, like I said. And I heard Seth Godin say one time that nobody has ever said, I've provided so much value and I have so many people that love what I'm doing that I can't figure out how to build a business.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Yeah, just asking people for how you can help them. It goes back to servant leadership, and it goes back to just showing up for people with empathy and saying, here's more free advice, take it or leave it. And you'll learn along the way too, like, wow, people really ate that up. They found that helpful. I wonder if I should build more of my business into that area, because you never know where that'll take you, especially amidst this COVID thing. You know, some people have realized, like, I can still survive without people walking out of my shop, because it turns out they weren't coming in for what I was giving them. They were coming in for the community. So how could I build that community outside of my four walls? So, man, marketing is crazy right now. And Josh, I love your perspective on all this. I could talk to you forever, but man, we'll definitely have to do a follow-up. Let me close by giving you the opportunity to tell people listening where they can learn more about you and where they can follow your content, because this stuff, guys, is what Josh and his team are creating every day for free, not just for their clients, but for people that just want a fresh perspective on marketing. Where can they find you guys?
Sure. Facebook. Ghost Creative on Facebook, and it's creative without an E on the end. So from a branding company, not the best branding, but gives us a conversation to have. So,
yeah.
Or ghostcreative.com.
Cool.
Yeah, those are the best places to find us.
Awesome, man. Well, we should talk about marketing more, because I feel like we could have continued. So thank you though so much for what you're doing in the marketing space. You are leading the way clearly in kind of the new generation of marketing, especially after this pandemic stuff. And definitely if I was a small business owner, which I am, but if I owned a brick and mortar shop and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to shift how I do marketing. Folks like you and your team are doing it the right way. So keep up the good work, man.
Thanks, man.
Thanks Likewise. For being on here.
Yeah, sure.
Friends, thanks so much for listening to today's episode of Keeping It Real with Chris Norris. Make sure you check the show notes for all of the relevant links. And don't forget, this is a production of Revox Social. We are a social media management and consulting agency helping businesses expand their reach online and successfully connect with their customers through the use of social media. We also can help with podcasting production, television, video production, basically any type of content or any type of way we can help you share your story online. We are here to help. Reach out to us at revoxsocial.com. Looking forward to another episode. Stay tuned for more. Thanks again for listening.